Exodus 25, verses 8 through 9. Back in the days of Moses. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so that I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle or temple and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. So back in Exodus, this is where I'm going to get a little teachy. God says, Moses, I want to be with my people, but I can only dwell in a heavenly place. So I'm going to show you a picture of what my tabernacle in heaven looks like. If you go through Exodus, there's about 10 chapters of the design. The kind of wood, the kind of metal, the number of stones, the names inscribed on the stones, the kind of thread used to make all the clothes, the dimensions of the tabernacle, that there was a certain size of it, there was a certain weight to the candlestick. I mean, I encourage you to read it. It's incredible. I mean, detail upon detail. He says, I'm going to give you the exact design because the only way I can be with you is if you build a heavenly place, and that's where I'll dwell. In fact, if you read the text in Exodus, it says Moses went up to a mountain for 40 days, and it took him 40 days to get the design. 40 days. If you remember during that story, that's when the people started building golden calves, and he had to come down, and he was like, what are y'all doing? There's just so much, and I encourage you to read it. Well, at the end of the book of Exodus, Moses has built this intrinsically designed tabernacle. And look what it says in Exodus 40, verse 34. The cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled it. It wasn't because God said, this is the point in history that I want to dwell with my people. It's because a man said, now that I've seen the design, we're going to build it. And once it was built to exact specification, that's when the glory filled it so much that Moses could not even walk in. You know why he couldn't walk in? It says that the brilliance of the glory of God was so bright that it would have burned him alive. In other words, when you start building the tabernacle for God to dwell in, there's not going to be any more room for you to be. What am I getting at? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in you and was given to you by God. You don't belong to yourself. God says, I want to give you the designs of a temple that I'm showing you in Revelation that you've got to build to the exact design. And now that Jesus has paid for your sins and has made you holy, you no longer have to build a physical temple. You know you are now the temple. But here's the thing. God does not change. His law does not change. So if there were specifications to the exact design in the tabernacle or temple of Moses, and we are now that temple, the way we walk from milk to meat is figure out what went on in that temple. Is this all right? All right. If we are the temple, our goal should be, I no longer want to just say I'm saved. Our goal should be, God, fill me up so much that I have to die. This was the greatest level of glory in Scripture to this place. There is Scripture in the Bible that talks about we move from glory to glory. The reason the glory was the greatest degree now is because he designed that temple according to every specification. Your life should never be at a place where you are at a standstill or you're not moving. Because if you are the temple, the goal is you move from glory to glory to glory so that there is so much presence that when you walk into a room, sin has to literally fall down and die because it cannot exist in the presence of God that you carry. Milk to meet people don't go in a room and say, come to church with me. Milk to meet people understand when you walk into a room, Starbucks just became the church. I hear people all the time, well, you shouldn't go to that place because they do this and they do that. Well, walk in the flipping place and change it. Why are we hiding from the enemy? Why are we putting boundaries on I believe it's in Zechariah, it says, you're trying to measure Jerusalem, but I'm trying to build a place that has no measure. Why are we putting boundaries around this temple when I can go from glory to glory, and I want to go into the darkest places of Savannah? I'm not scared to walk around Foresight past midnight. Ain't no one more powerful than my God. And the promise is that I'm saved, and if, now here's the catch, if God gave me the assignment to go, then I'm protected. Okay. So how many of you want to know what the temple looks like? I've been preaching about 30 minutes. Can I keep going? Shout yes if you want me to keep going. Okay. What does the temple look like? In the design for a tabernacle, you had three distinct sections. You had a courtyard, a holy place, and a most holy place. Some versions refer to the most holy place as the Holy of Holies. In order to enter in the courtyard, if you read through Exodus, there was a specific design. There were 12 tribes of Israel camped around this tabernacle. On the north, there were three. On the south, there were three. On the west, there were three. On the east, there were three. Three, 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 three. At the center was the temple of God. Everything about everything should be centered around his presence. It wasn't that you could go in any way you wanted to. There was one entrance on the east side of the courtyard. One entrance that you had to go through to get in. Someone shout one way. John 10:9. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Jesus speaking says, I'm the gate so that you can get into the courtyard, the holy place, and the most holy place. Milk people stay at the gate. Preach it, Pastor. Let me get a word. Can you pray for me? I drank again. Oh, yeah, y'all got quiet there. Jesus says, I'm the gate, and because I have bought you entrance, you can come and go freely. In other words, you got a choice. You can either enter in or you can stay out. How many of you want to enter in? So he says, I'm the gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We read in 1 Thessalonians that you're made up of three parts. You're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your spirit is either saved or it's not. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. It's you. It's who you truly are. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is in the process of being completely saved. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because let's be honest, there's some thoughts that come into my mind that ain't looking nothing like Jesus. You've got a spirit that's saved, you got a soul that's being in the process of being saved, and then you got a body. Your body is exposed to everything. The interesting thing about how the temple was set up, the most holy place and the holy place were covered. The courtyard was completely exposed to all the elements, all the storms, all the wind, everything. 2 Corinthians 5:4. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies. so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. The fact of the matter is, this is how we live as spirits on this earth. Amen. Can I tell you a truth about your bodies? Yes. Your bodies will not be saved. Amen. If you read Revelation, he says, I am giving you a new vessel and putting you back on the earth. Right. If I may mess up your theology, your destination is not heaven, it's heaven on earth. You go to heaven, and then when he makes everything right, he's going to put you back here. I just want to get home in heaven. Let me tell you, this is your home. So start making it look like your true home. I can tell I'm stepping on some toes. That's all right. If I don't get it by the back, I'll pray for you. So your body is not saved. Your body is, you are exposed to everything. You're exposed to negativity, to ungodly voices, to wicked things. So what are we supposed to do if we are exposed to everything wicked, yet we are called to be holy and we are called to house his presence? Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Jesus, I'm thankful that I'm saved. And into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. If you want to see the presence of God in your life, we've got to make sure that your courtyard is full of sounds of praise. In other words, what are you exposing your courtyard to? You know what Proverbs says in chapter 13? It says, walk with the wise, become wise, associate with fools, and you get in trouble. Just because you're saved does not make you exempt from that law. If you want to be successful and you surround yourself with failure, you are not going to produce success. If you want to be a man or woman of God who chews on meat, you got to get new company than the ones who sit there and I'm so tired. I wish things changed. Get around some new company of some life-giving sounds of praise in your courtyard. Everything you expect. It's no longer, I wish Jesus would do this. It's you've got to walk in. He has made a place for your courtyard to be full of sounds of praise. But you've got to walk out of the dump you've been living in and walk into the correct place to expose yourself. The younger generation, you are exposed to such filth on social media. I'm not telling you I'm not one of those guys that's going to say, get off social media because it's of the devil. I'm saying change what you're exposed to. Unfollow some things. Follow some new things. Start putting praise on your status. Do something different. Inside the courtyard, there was two things. This is where all the people could come in the courtyard. There was a brazen altar, and there was a bronze laver. At the brazen altar, they would sacrifice lambs. Because the first thing you got to do, understanding that you are a courtyard, is you've got to deal with the sins that you've got, and you've got to repent. Their first order of business was blood for their sins. While they sacrificed the lamb, you know what they did with the body of the lamb after they got the blood? They burned it.